How's your spizzorinctum level today? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. I learned a new word listening to this message. It isn't Greek or Hebrew or even Yiddish. Spizzorinctum is an American word that means vim, energy, and overmastering will to succeed. You can spell it almost any way you like, which is handy, and it can also mean a person who has this drive. Are you or have you ever been a spizzorinctum? Jim will apply it to Moses, one of the greats in the Faith Hall of Fame, and to his parents.
Early childhood. I can understand why the government liked to take over that whole thing, because if the government can have your child for his first 5 or 6 years, government pretty much controls what that child believes. You know that, don't you? You listen carefully. We who are parents have a critical 5 to 6 year window, maybe 7, when we're able to implant into the hearts and minds of our children the key concepts, the key truths that will lead them for the rest of their life. That's what Paul said about Timothy. From a child, Timothy, through your mother and your grandmother, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. I never had a struggle. Never remember a struggle with the gospel of Jesus Christ. First time I heard it, I responded. Why? Because my parents had prayed and taught. My grandparents had prayed and taught, prayed and taught, prayed and taught. By the time I went to kindergarten, and I'm no Moses, but I'm telling you, there's tremendous power in those early years. By the time I went, I didn't go to kindergarten. We didn't have those things in West Virginia. When I went to grade 1, more of my friends lived in the pages of Scripture than lived on the houses on my block. I knew the names of more people in the Bible and knew their stories than I knew the kids in my class. I never doubted that the Bible was true. I never doubted that Jesus was God in the flesh. I never doubted that he died. Never. 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 Why? Because from a child, Moses' mother nursed him and nourished him. And when those seeds of truth are planted deep in the heart and the soul, look what happens. You read here in Exodus chapter 2. Look at this. Verse 11. Years later, after Moses had grown up, he went out to his own people and observed their forced labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. Looking all around and seeing no one, he struck the Egyptian dead and hid him in the sand. Next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you attacking your neighbor?" His response, "Who made you, watch, who made you a leader and judge over us?" Where did that question come from? It came from the spontaneous response of a Hebrew in hiding who could no longer disguise his true identity. Moses is 40 years old at this time in his life. And those seeds of his childhood caused him, led him to identify with his people. And in the process of defending them, he killed the Egyptian. Turn to the book of Acts with me, please. Look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And notice verse 22. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. That, I think, is after John. It's hiding tonight. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. This is a sermon from Stephen, who's going to get himself killed for this sermon, by the way. But he preaches the truth nonetheless. Acts chapter 7, look with me please at verse 22. Acts 7, 22. So Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and actions. As he was approaching the age of 40, he decided to visit his brothers, the sons of Israel, his brothers. When he saw one of them being mistreated, he came to his rescue and avenged the oppressed man by striking down the Egyptian. He assumed his brothers would understand that God would give them deliverance through him. Where did that idea come from? Pharaoh's daughter?
No.
The harem? Where he probably was raised? Is that where that idea came from? Came from his mother. Moses had so identified with his people that when they were offended, he championed their cause. And he is stunned that no one else seems to understand that that's his call. How did he get the call? He was remembering his childhood. I love that. Verse 25. Moses assumed his brothers would understand that God would give them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. That's why Hebrews 11, verse 23, begins with, by faith Moses. By faith Moses. What does that mean? That means that when Moses became 40 years of age, all that his mother, all that his parents had taught him came to fruition. And he made decisions based upon what his parents had taught him, based upon the promises of God to his parents and his people, and he assumed that all of the other Israelites would recognize who he was and what he was doing. He was ready to deliver them right then. And God said, no, they're not ready for that, Moses. So Moses ran off to Midian. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw the child was beautiful. And they didn't fear the king's edict. Boy, that would be good for some of us today. This political correctness idea runs amok. Who are you? Really, who are you? Who dictates the terms upon which you live? Who directs the decisions that you make? At what point do you stand up and say, enough? No, you will not tell me how to live the values, the truths of my life. Something for us to think about. But Moses obviously ingested the courage of his parents, who at his birth and during the early years of his maturity stood up, defied the king's command, instead decided to obey God's command, positioned their son, prepared their son, trained their son, I'm sure prayed for their son, anticipated their son could well be the one that God would use to lead the people out of Egypt. I like Moses' parents, and I'm sure that they're smiling to see their attitudes, their values, the things that they taught, see those things grow up in their son's life and see him become indeed the one whom God would use to deliver. Because if you notice in chapter 11, it says about Moses, look at verse 27. It says, Moses, when he was 80 years old, by faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger. So a little of that spizrunctum had been vested in Moses. And push came to shove, Moses knew who he was, knew what God had promised, But it took him another 40 years, didn't it, over there in Midian, before God touched him, sent him back to Egypt. But look at this. By faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. Have you seen God today? Have you? Oh, he's invisible, yes. But to the eyes of faith, he's all around us. What in the world convinced Moses of that? It wasn't the failure at age 40. It was the experience at the burning bush at age 80. It took Moses 80 years before it all connected. And before he realized that all that his mother had taught him and all the experience he'd had and all the promises of the Old Testament concerning the children of Israel and the nations of the world, that those things are real. And Moses never really grabbed that, or that never really grabbed Moses until he's 80 years old. And at 80 years old, Moses tending sheep, and you know what happened. God met him at the burning bush. Now listen. Moses didn't see the invisible God at the burning bush, but he saw a burning bush that could not be explained except for the presence of God. And from that moment on, when he comes back to Pharaoh, Moses is a different man. In a sense, he's concerned that the nation of Israel will not accept him. And they didn't. The elders of Israel were as upset with Egypt as Pharaoh was. And that fluctuated. But Moses had been promised by God, I'll be with you. I will take on Pharaoh. This is not about you, Moses, and Pharaoh. This is about me and Pharaoh. See, folks, to see God is to look at the circumstances of our lives through the revelation God has given us and to understand that that revelation is solid, it's basic. We can live and move and do and speak and say as if God were really right there, because he really is. He really is. Moses persevered. It wasn't easy. He persevered. His own people turned against him. He persevered. He persevered. What gave him the courage to do that? Well, both what he had been taught by his mom and dad, by what he had learned about the promises made to the nation of Israel, by the discouragement of his own people, and by meeting God over there in the wilderness with the burning bush, and then seeing God manifest his presence through all those plagues. What I'm trying to say to you is that Moses radically changed. The faith of his childhood became the faith of full manhood when he realized through a personal relationship, a personal encounter with the living God, when Moses met God in God's fullness, Moses was a changed man. Because from that moment on, Moses realized, my life is not my own. I'm bought with a price. My career is not mine to control. God has a career for me. I don't have to beat Pharaoh. I don't have to outthink him. I don't have to outsmart him. All I have to do is show up every day for work and say, God, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? And the invisible God became real and personal to Moses. We'll stop there tonight, and I want to challenge you to do that. I want to encourage you to do that. The basis of Moses' preservation was both the promise of God, the preparation of God, and the presence of God. And I want to challenge all of us tonight to go the same route. The promise of God. Know the Word of God. That's why you're here tonight. What I have to think about these things is irrelevant. This is what God says about these things. Make the Word of God your foundation, your preparation. Every one of you have gifts and abilities. Every one of you are a beautiful child. There's no ugly children born in God's family. And by beautiful, I mean what the text means. It doesn't just mean that he was good looking. It means that he was seen as one who was unique, gifted by God. And my friend, that's you. When you came from your mother's womb, you were unique. See that. Understand that. Your life is not here for your pleasure. You're here on a mission. There's a purpose behind this. You are, as a born-again believer, as a Christian, you are gifted, called, prepared to do significant things for God. It may not be things that make it in the Columbus newspaper, and your picture may not be on your church bulletin board. That's not the point. That's irrelevant. And how do you develop that? By beginning to see the invisible God. There's a reason why God let you sleep last night and get up this morning. There's a reason why you're here tonight. When you go out that door in just a few moments, you're going out into a destiny just like Moses did. And you are living in times that are absolutely no less significant prophetically than Moses did. God's about to do it again. The magnificent dual miracle of the rapture for the saints and the revelation of the two prophets for the world. That's about to happen. And everything you're hearing and seeing shouts that. Let me make that very personal. Your neighbor may be a member of ISIS. You know that, don't you? Some of you are looking at me like you're thinking, oh, you gotta be kidding. Here's my point. Pharaoh still lives. And the spirit of Pharaoh still rules in the kingdoms of this world. There is still a prince of darkness who rules the world. He's called the prince of the world. He still has tremendous influence. Still doing his dastardly, deceptive thing. And anyone who does not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior is his child, subject to his will, accessible by his angels. We call them demons. So what are you going to do about ISIS? Do what Moses did. Don't be afraid of the king's edict. Get your eyes on the one who says, I'll deal with Pharaoh. I will set my people free. I will do it. I hear their cries. I see the hardship. I will deal with those things. But I'm going to tell you, the forces that are increasingly loose in our world today, the United States government can't beat. Can't beat. They are religious. They are philosophical. They are spiritual. And I need to learn to not fear them. How? By seeing him who is invisible. Have I beat that to death for you? I hope so. I hope so. That's why this 11th chapter of Hebrews is here, to say to Jim Custer and to each of you who know the name of Jesus, your life is significant. You are gifted and called by God. You need to know what God's doing in our world. You need to recognize Pharaoh and stop fearing him. You need to see him who is invisible. You need to see him in the news. You need to see him in the sunset. You need to see him in the challenges of your day-to-day life. May that be so, Heavenly Father. May we indeed walk in the Spirit, not in the power of the flesh. May we indeed, like Moses did, by faith, by the certainty of what you have promised to do, by the certainty of your presence in your world, by the certainty that you are fully capable and have a perfect plan for dealing with all of these things around us and the struggles within us. Seeing you invisible to the human eye, but very present in the human experience. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Tonight, let me ask you to pray a request. Here's the request. Pray something like this. God of my fathers, help me to see you in the day-to-day stuff of my life. Help me to stop fearing those who do not like you and who refuse to submit themselves to your plan. Help me then to persevere and living a life that is distinctively pleasing to you, to embrace with confidence and assurance all that you promised, and then live as if those promises are true. Remind us tonight of the incredible privilege and power of prayer. Knit our hearts to yours, Father, and help us to leave here resolved as you would graciously lead us to live for you and to keep our eye on that ultimate reward, just like Moses did. So guide us and direct us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Moses' fear and all of his ideas about delivering the Hebrew people by his own power went up in smoke at the burning bush. He saw God, and that changed everything. Abraham would say the same thing about his life. Once you see the invisible, it seems, you can see the visible for what it is. So, have we seen God, is the question. Jim has given this sermon a provocative title, Faith is Living in Illusion. If you'd like to have the message on CD, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. It's one in our series, God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. All 20 discs will be yours for a contribution of $69 or more. I'll tell you how to order in a second. But let me remind you that we need you. We rely on folks in the audience to make the switch from passive listening to partnering with us in prayer or sharing finances. Maybe an ongoing commitment seems daunting. That's okay. A one-time gift would be valued too. You can mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio 43085, USA. You can call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And please check out our website, rightstartradio.org. There you can hear today's radio program and many others. You can play or download Pastor Jim's complete sermons. And the Daily Podcast is the radio show on the Apple platform. We'll show you how to get that going. You can click to donate, too, at rightstartradio.org. I'm Dan Pope, thanking you for listening. Through our Hebrew series, we've become convinced of the necessity of faith. How do we get more of it? Jim has some scriptural ideas for us, which we'll hear tomorrow on the next Right Start.